I love a great ending. Whether a musical or theater production, fireworks, movie, or sporting event, I love an ending that literally or figuratively brings you to your feet. And this is what the Creed does. Remember, the Creed is the condensed Jesus story. The Creed is the elevator speech in which you hit the essential core elements of the good news, the gospel we proclaim and follow. Today, we finish our Creed series, and it concludes with fireworks. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The Creed reminds us of our destiny. I've never been comfortable with hymns and songs that make Christianity an escapist religion. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That may sound like a corny gospel song, and it kind of is, but it expresses what many Christians believe, that our destiny is simply to escape. Somehow, the gospel of Jesus Christ became a ticket out of a world that would burn up and into heaven, all at some future but generally known date. The Creed reminds us that our future is physical, not some bodiless existence soul strumming on a harp on a cloud somewhere beyond the blue. No, the physical, the material, is God's creation. God said it was good, and God is not going to walk away from it. God is going to redeem his creation, and that includes our physical bodies. Let me say it this way. The Creed affirms, Christianity affirms, that our entire life, which includes our bodies, our minds, and our souls, or spirit, is to be redeemed. The Apostle Paul links this affirmation of bodily resurrection directly to Easter, to the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16, Paul writes, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either." The Creed, as we looked at several weeks ago, says, "On the third day, he, Christ, rose again from the dead." Now, Paul continues in chapter 15, verse 20, saying, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." I love the fact that Paul says, "fallen asleep." He avoids the word "died" or "dead" or "death," as these can indicate finality. But death doesn't have the final word. Friends, my current body is deteriorating. I eat a predominantly vegetarian diet. I try to exercise and remain fit. But the reality remains, my body is deteriorating. And this is true for you too. And unless Jesus returns soon, I will die, or as the Apostle Paul says, I will be one of, quote, those who have fallen asleep, unquote. But that is not the end. While I will be with the Lord, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, quote, to depart and be with the Lord, unquote, I still await the consummation when Christ returns and there is the new heaven and new earth. Remember, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and there is then, with this, the resurrection of the body. What will that be like? What will my body look like? What will it be like? Well, use your imagination. I don't want to make this like a weight loss advertisement with a before and after picture, but resurrection bodies will be splendid transformations that can hardly be imagined. Our bodies will be imperishable, without decay, no longer subject to disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, neurological diseases like Parkinson's and ALS. COVID-19 won't be a threat, nor will malaria, diabetes, or any other disease that ravages the human body. Revelation chapter 21 says, "Every tear will be wiped away. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more." This is not a description of a bodiless existence in heaven, but life amidst the new heaven and new earth, the redeemed creation over which Jesus reigns. as Handel's Messiah beautifully says, "And he, Christ, shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah." But for now, I lean on what the Apostle John says about my resurrection body. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he writes, quote, "Beloved, we are God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." Folks, we will be like Jesus. We will have bodies like Jesus' resurrection body. We will have his mind, his heart, his love, his character as well. The image of God in which all people are made, yet is marred and scarred by sin, will be fully restored. We will be like Jesus. When I think of that, I don't worry about whether I'm going to have hair on top of my head with my resurrection body. That is a minor detail that I don't need to worry about. I will be like Jesus. And that, my friends, is awesome. But then what? What will our existence with these resurrection bodies be? Will it be one everlasting worship service? I don't think so. The creed says, "I believe in the life everlasting." The word life is more than simply breathing in and out with a heart that beats forever. Life in the New Testament denotes salvation. It denotes a flourishing. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, "I came to give them life, abundant and everlasting." I like the way the Message translation puts this. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. "I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Friends, Jesus' desire is for people, you and me, to have life that is flourishing now and forever. In the new redeemed creation, life will flourish. Work will have deep enjoyment, purpose, and satisfaction. Relationships will be pure, life-giving, rich with joy and affirmation. The beauty of creation and creativity, the beauty of ethnicity, the beauty of languages and culture, all free from the presence of sin, will be more than we can imagine, better than we ever dreamed. This is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, regarding death, quote, "We do not grieve as those who have no hope," unquote. When a friend, a loved one dies, we grieve deeply, but we have hope that is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus, which means we too will share in his resurrection, with his victory, with his life. But until then, what about life now? Does the creed suggest that life now is like sitting on a bench waiting for the heavenly bus to come by and pick us up and take us to heaven, and that's when eternal life begins? No. I love what New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says. Listen to his words. "Salvation," think everlasting life, "only does what it's meant to do when those who have been saved are being saved and will one day be fully saved, realize that they are saved not as souls, but as wholes, WHOLES, and not for themselves alone, but for what God now longs to do through them, unquote. And what is that that God wants to do through us? Well, God wants to make us whole, which means healing and transformation, so we look like, smell like, and act like Jesus, which leads to personal flourishing. But flourishing isn't just personal, it is social flourishing too. If God is going to redeem this broken creation, that it might flourish according to God's original intent, then God's people ought to now reflect this intent in how we live today. We should be like signposts for God through our work and advocacy on behalf of creation care and restoration, justice and reconciliation, safe housing, food security, health care, life-enhancing technology, the ending of human trafficking, peacemaking, workplace safety. The list can go on and on. In every sphere of human activity, God's people can be agents of transformation who bring purpose, dignity, beauty, creativity, healing, joy, purity, goodness, understanding, renewal, hope, flourishing. In other words, God's people, you and me, live and work now as if the redeemed creation and life everlasting are already here. We do this because we are Jesus's followers, who boldly and joyously proclaim, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We believe that these are true, and their truth, their reality, moves and motivates us to be signs of God's presence and intent today. Please join me as we pray. God, you are so amazingly good and doggedly faithful. You will not let this world go. You will not walk away and wipe your hands of it or of us. You are intent on redeeming it all. In fact, we have only to look to the resurrection to see your commitment to renew all things, including us. Thank you that we can look to the future not in dread, but with an infectious optimism. Because Christ is risen, so too will we, along with all the saints who have gone before us. What a world it will be, free from the stains and destruction of sin, wickedness, and injustice. You will reign and dwell with us. Give us a renewed awareness of this great hope and assurance. May it motivate and animate our lives today to live, work, and play in all spheres of life as though Jesus is reigning now. Thus the world will see and taste the good news of your redeeming love and power. Amen. Friends, one last time, I invite you to join with me as we give mind, heart, and voice to the Creed, joyously saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And friends, I'll add, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.